Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer, and it is my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you by our worship associate, Eric Van Bars, this morning. We're glad to be together today. I would like to extend a special welcome to those of you who are with us for the first time this morning. We're always glad to have guests at our services and hope that you will stay afterward for our social hour, which is held downstairs in Fessenden Hall. If you find that you would like more information about the life and work of this community, I encourage you to complete a guest card, which you can find in the racks of the pews. You may place your completed card in an offering basket when it comes to you later in the service, or hand it to a representative of our membership committee who would be glad to greet you at the visitor's table, which is just around the corner outside the sanctuary doors. Ours is a church that strives to practice the fragile art of hospitality. And so in that spirit, I invite you to take a moment to turn and greet your neighbors. In addition to asking you to silence your cell phones, I would like to direct your attention to the thread from the web. That is the insert in your order of service. There you will find several announcements as well as a calendar of events for the week ahead in the church. There are a couple of items that I would like to bring to your attention, and one of them is the adventure of the fire drill that we will be having this morning. The teachers have already gotten instruction on their role in the fire drill, and they will be instructing all the children and youth in their classes. If the rest of us need to have our instructions, so when you hear the fire alarm, everybody on this half of the sanctuary that is able-bodied is asked to go out the back door to the parking lot right behind the church. And everybody on this side of the sanctuary is asked to go out the front door into the Founders Lounge, down the front steps, and around the back into that same parking lot in the back of the church. If you require assistance navigating the stairs because we can't use elevators in the event of fire drills or fires, then there are a group of people designated to help assist you down the stairs out the front. We won't actually do that today, but the people who need assistance and the people who are assisting are asked to meet right before the steps in the Founders Lounge so that we can be sure that that part of our plan is working. So if you are a greeter, a choir member, or a worship associate, or a board member in the building this morning, you are the people who are designated to help anyone who requires assistance exiting the building. Also, if you are a teacher but are not teaching this service, your job is, when you hear the fire drill, to go to the nursery and assist in helping take any babies and toddlers out. The babies, toddlers, children, and teachers will all be meeting in the grassy area behind the church, and all the adults will be meeting in the parking lot. We ask you to stay where you exit to until we have a chance to count to make sure that we've gotten everybody out of the building. And we're going to learn a lot. And the third and fourth grade classes have been studying safety, and they are going to be doing an assessment of how well we do on our fire drill. And they'll give us their reports next week. Okay, we also have a special announcement this morning from Connor May.
Love is a many splendid thing. Love lifts us up where we belong. All you need is love.
The theme of this year's annual auction of goods and services is standing on the side of love.
This is the calling, have you heard?
Saturday, October 24th at 6 p.m.
Bring all the lovers to the fold.
Today is your last chance to get tickets before the auction.
No one is gonna lose their soul.
It's not too late. Only $15 exchange you admission to an evening of fun, food, and fundraising, and babysitting is included.
Love is my religion.
This annual event is our church's largest fundraiser each year.
Love is my religion.
Standing on the Side of Love is a public advocacy campaign that seeks to harness the love's power to stop oppression. It's sponsored by the UUA.
All we need is love.
In the spirit of this campaign, this year we are introducing a special collection and gift basket to be auctioned off to the benefit of the Hartville Migrant Ministries.
You must give yourself to love.
Hartville Migrant Ministries is a nonprofit organization in the Hartville area.
If love is what you're after.
They provide assistance to the migrant workers, including clothing, health care, and schooling for the children of the workers.
Open up your heart to tears and laughter. Give yourself to love.
Check out the gift basket for more information on this great cause downstairs at the service auction table.
Give yourself to love.
You may be asking yourself, what is at the auction that I might want to have? I got a sneak peek at the donation list that I'm begging my mom to bid on. Talk like a pirate party? Arr. The Star Trek dinner, live long and prosper. And the Northern Mexican dinner, yum yum. And the watercolor by Jan Noden, the Hale Farm landscape, four passes to fun and stuff, and piano lessons.
Feel like I do.
Also, genealogy researches, massages, and a homemade soup delivered to your door. Check out the list in today's program to find your favorite.
That's just love.
Speaking of food, did I mention the gourmet food at the auction? If you think a pancake breakfast is good, this will knock your socks off.
My heart is on fire.
And what my moms refer to as adult beverages.
My soul's like a wheel that's turning.
So what are you waiting for?
My love is a lie.
Don't wait. Get your tickets today before it's too late. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much. Next week, you're again invited to join us for worship at 9:30 and 11:15. I will be leading a special service for all ages, along with our Director of Religious Education, Karen Lapidus, and Worship Associate, Kathy Kearns. The title of the service is All Our Voices, and families are welcome at both services. At the end of today's service, Eric and I will be glad to greet you, and once again, I bid you welcome.
At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lit the flame for us and within us. Albert Schweitzer.
Sorry. Ground of being lift me up, make me strong so I can be there for the ones who need me. Well, I've learned something from every man and woman who has troubled me. You have opened me up. Now I'm just as strong as you and just as weak as the ones who need me. Oh, flow of feeling, move through me, move me to the places where I need, and help me stay there. Skies above me, lift me up, make me vast enough to receive the light around me. Now I'm just as strong as me and just as weak. I have everything I need. On ground of being, help me love, help me trust the arms around me who have opened me up. Oh, ground of being, hear my prayer. May the love inside me guide us there. Oh, ground of being, ground of being. Oh, ground of being.
Achieve results, but never be proud. Achieve results because that is the natural way. The sage works without recognition. He achieves what has to be done without dwelling on his victory. Accept disgrace willingly. Accept being unimportant. Surrender yourself humbly. Then you can be trusted to care for all things. Love the world as your own self. Then you can truly care.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The ideas of virtue and character are often difficult concepts to actually learn. The way that we grasp these concepts is through example. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with Highlights magazine. I read Highlights magazine when I was a child. And one of the things I turned to first when I got my edition was the Goofus and Gallant piece. Anyone read the Goofus and Gallant piece? And Goofus and Gallant, this is a way that virtues, character, is being taught to children. And Goofus is kind of the bad guy. He does things the wrong way, the non-virtuous way. And Gallant is the good guy, and he does things the virtuous way. And so we're going to explore the concept of humility in a Goofus and Gallant kind of style. And Sarah Wills and Joey Murphy are going to offer you an example of looking at humility, and hopefully through their example, you'll be able to live by that.
Hey, I heard you talking to the teacher. What was that all about?
Oh, she was talking to me about my paper that I wrote. It was awesome. I got 110% A+. I did so good. I'm the best, she said. I did the best in the whole school.
Hey, I heard you talking to the teacher. What was that about?
Oh, she said that I did a paper, and she said it was pretty good.
Yeah, you worked really hard. You deserve that grade.
Yeah, I'm really proud of my grade that I got.
So I hope you saw the difference. So, humility is the quality of not being boastful, but of having appropriate pride. Humility, as you saw, is an act of kindness. And I encourage you to be like Gallant and to be humble in your interactions with everyone. Thank you. And thank you, Sarah and Joey.
And I invite you to join with me now in the spirit of prayer. How shall we call you, eternal spirit, abiding force, Gaia, God, ground of being, breath of life. By many names you are known, so intimately, and yet always beyond our full comprehension. We gather this morning in humility, grateful for this gift of life that we have been given. We ask a blessing upon those we love. We ask a blessing upon those who serve our country. And hold in our hearts this morning all the people of Afghanistan. We hold in our hearts all the people of Afghanistan and pray for peace in that country as we pray for peace in the world. Amen and blessed be.
The Eucrates and the Fruit Tree, a Jewish fable or midrash on the value of humility from Genesis Rabbi 16:3, told by Rabbi Mainz Corgan. When they asked the Euphrates, "Why don't you let us hear your voice?" it answered, "I have no need to. My actions speak for themselves. A man plants a sapling at my edge, and it will bear fruit in 30 days. And if he plants a vegetable, it will grow in 3. They asked the fruit trees, "Why aren't your voices heard?" They answered, "It is not necessary. Our fruits give testimony to our existence." From the Gospel according to Luke 14:7-11. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose their places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. For the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes to you, he may say unto you, "Friend, move up higher." And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
That was a lesson in what happens when I don't make Hal sing me the song I'm not familiar with. I don't read music very well. And I said, "Oh, the words are great. Is it easy?" "Oh, yeah." And I want to thank Andrea and Lee. They've filled in for twice Hal recently when he has had commitments at other Unitarian Universalists and with other groups. So we thank you for your service. At the end of my second year of theological school, I had a meeting with two of my professors and the school's chaplain. The purpose of the meeting was to discuss the learning goals I would pursue during my upcoming internship. I presented a number of concrete goals that I thought would help me develop my skills in the tasks of ministry. When I was done, I asked my advisors if they thought I should add any other goals to my list. In addition to the doing of ministry, they said, I would profit from intentional reflection on the being of ministry. That made sense to me, but then the chaplain of the school refined her input, suggesting it would be particularly important for me to focus on the development of humility. I was so taken aback, I hardly knew what to say. I asked my chaplain what she meant, but I wasn't in a position to hear her response. Everything I heard was filtered through my fear that I had been perceived as arrogant or boastful. Was she saying that I needed to be more deferential and modest? That was the only way I knew to interpret the meaning of her words. Those who are humble are lowly, meek, and unassuming. Those who are not humble are overly proud, egotistical, and conceited. That's what the dictionary says, and that is where my understanding started and stopped. I didn't think of myself as a self-important braggart, so why did I need to work on humility? Earlier, Eric read a parable on humility from the book of Luke that's attributed to Jesus. Turns out Jesus had a lot to say on the subject of humility. Let's consider the teaching again. Jesus was invited to a dinner party. When he got there, he noticed how the guests chose their seats, and then he told them a story. When someone invites you to a wedding banquet or a dinner party, he said, don't sit down at the best seat in the house, because someone more important than you might come along, and your host will have to ask you to move, and everyone will be embarrassed. Instead, when you get to the party, sit at the lowest seat, and then if your host comes up to you and says, friend, come sit in this distinguished seat, then you will be honored. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, on the surface, this seems like a fairly simple lesson in good manners. When you get invited to a party, Jesus says, don't assume you're the guest of honor. That's good advice. Looking a little more deeply, though, it seems this story also offers some advice for navigating many kinds of social encounters. It's better to hang back and wait to be noticed, Jesus says. If you draw attention to yourself by marching right up to the front, you might wind up being embarrassed if you're asked to step back to make room for someone with a bigger name. This is essentially what it says in another passage recorded in the book of Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. These readings are practical and make a certain kind of social and political sense, but I think that we can go even deeper. Humility is promoted as a virtue throughout both the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures. In the Hebrew scriptures, Moses is praised as the most humble among men. The actual Hebrew word used to describe Moses is anav, A-N-A-V, and it's most commonly translated as humble or meek. But several Hebrew scholars have suggested that a more nuanced translation of the word anav can help us understand what it really means to be humble. I like the way Rabbi Drashot interprets the word. To be anav, he says, is to limit ourselves to taking up an appropriate amount of space that leaves room for others. I also like the way Rabbi Hirschfeld interprets the word as unpretending. To be anav, he says, is not to pretend that we are more or less than we are, but rather to honestly recognize our place in the world. These interpretations of humility fit with my understanding of the Midrash we heard. When they asked the Euphrates, why don't you let us hear your voice? It answered, I have no need. My actions speak for themselves. A man plants a sapling at my edge, and it will bear fruit in 30 days, and if he plants a vegetable, it will grow in 3. So they asked the fruit trees, why aren't your voices heard? They answered, it is not necessary. Our fruits give testimony to our existence. The river doesn't have to boast of its gifts. Its power is clearly visible in the green and growing things planted along its shore. The river embraces its power and does not strive to be anything more or less than river. The tree doesn't need to brag about its greatness. Its fruit shows that it's great. The tree embraces its power and does not strive to be anything more or less than tree. I wonder if Ralph Waldo Emerson had this midrash in mind when he wrote, the roses under my window make no reference to former roses or to better ones. They are what they are. They exist with God today. Reconsidering Jesus' parable in this light, perhaps his was at heart a lesson about our relationship not only to other people, but also to God. All who humble themselves will be exalted. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Humble from humilis, low. Humilis from humus, earth. Humble, humus, human. We are born of earth. We are beautiful, creative, and complex. We have a powerful intellect and a tremendous capacity for love. We can be extravagantly generous. We're capable of remarkable achievements. Every single one of us has a unique constellation of gifts and talents that can be used to bless the world. And yet, we are human. We are not God. Each of us has limitations. We cannot know everything there is to know. We often make mistakes. We have powerful emotions and a tremendous capacity for hate. We can be profoundly cruel. We're capable of immense harm. Every single one of us has failed. Every single one of us has been complicit with sin. To be humble is to refrain from striving to be more than it is possible for any human being to be. To be humble is to refrain from pretending that we are more or less than simply and fully human, and to honestly acknowledge our rightful place in the universe. I think that's what my chaplain had in mind when she told me I needed to focus on the development of humility. It was a lesson that I needed to learn better then, and it's a lesson I still need to learn better. I lack humility when I set a standard for myself that I would never expect anyone else to reach. I lack humility when I strive for some unrealistic, imaginary perfection in word, thought, and conduct, and then fault myself for failing to reach the impossible. I lack humility when I minimize my successes and exaggerate my defeats. I lack humility when I let fear stop me from trying because I'm afraid of the possibility of failing. The Reverend Arthur Foote served as the minister of the church where I was an intern for 25 years, from 1945 to 1970. Shortly after I arrived, one of the eldest members of the congregation approached me and gave me a copy of a Lenten manual he wrote during his tenure there. I used that manual in my prayer and meditation practice over the course of the year and found these words particularly helpful in my own development of humility. The goal, he says, is to think well of oneself, but not too well. To recognize one's strength without forgetting one's weakness. To accept one's limitation with good grace. To be able to acknowledge past mistakes and present shortcomings without lingering and exaggerated feelings of guilt and remorse. To know when we have punished ourselves enough that it is time to forgive and forget. These words are for me a positive definition of healthy humility. And so I offer them to you along with some words from the Reverend Forrest Church, an eminent Unitarian Universalist minister who died recently. And so I've been rereading his words and found these particularly helpful for our reflection today. Reverend Forrest Church had a problem with alcohol early in his ministry. And when he did what he needed to do to get sober, he found a mantra for himself that he kept for the rest of his life. Do what you can, want what you have, and be who you are. These are his words. Wanting what we have mutes the pangs of desire, which visits from an imaginary future to cast a shadow on the present, which is real. Doing what we can focuses our minds on what is possible, no more, no less, thereby filling each moment with conscious, practicable endeavor. And being who we are helps us reject the fool's gold of self-delusion and demands integrity, being straight with ourselves and with one another. It's a mantra you can take with you. Want what you have, do what you can, be who you are. Karen said that humility is one of those virtues we learn by example, and Eric said the same thing to me when we were talking about how we learned this earlier this week. Stories function as example for us, so at the risk of inundating you with too many, I'll tell you one more, a Hasidic tale from Rabbi Simcha Bunim, who used to say, every person should have two pockets. In one pocket, there should be a note that says, for my sake, the world was created. And in the second pocket, there should be a note which says, I am dust and ashes. When we're feeling down, we should take out the note that says, for my sake, the world was created. And when we're feeling smug, we should take out the note that says, I am dust and ashes. One goes in our left pocket to impress upon us our smallness, the other in our right pocket to remind ourselves of our greatness. That's how it is for us humans. We are both small and great. We matter immensely to a few precious lives, and we're utterly insignificant in the grand sweep of the cosmos. What we experience as a lifetime is but a moment in the unfolding of the universe. The possibilities that lie before us are tremendous, but they are not limitless. Within the context of finitude, we are free to choose how we will live. May we choose well, and may we live each and every day with gratitude and with humility for this gift of life that we have been given. Amen, and blessed be. Will the ushers please come forward? It's been said that the offering is the sacrament of the free church, the ritual we engage in whereby we give freely of our time, talents, and treasures to support the ministry of the place with which we have chosen to affiliate. This is a free church. Our gifts, our time, our talents, and treasures make this ministry possible. If you are our guest this morning, we have a gift for you. There's a candle in the basket as a token of our hospitality. We're glad you're with us. The offering will now be gratefully received. These are the words of Mark Bellatini. Go in peace, live simply, gently, at home in yourselves. Act justly, speak justly. Remember the depth of your own compassion. Forget not your power in the days of your powerlessness. Do not desire to be wealthier than your peers, and stint not your hand of charity. Practice forbearance. Speak the truth or speak not. Take good care of your bodies, for you are a good gift. Crave peace for all the people in the world, beginning with yourselves, and go as you go with the dream of that peace alive in your hearts. Amen.